Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Camper vans and motorhomes are growing in popularity every single year here in this country. More and more people are choosing life on the road to try and explore Ireland and much further afield. But is it really an easier and more affordable way to travel? Jason Carmody is the chairperson of the Irish Motorhome Working Group. Jason, like, do we actually have facts and figures to say more Irish people are now opting for camper vans?
Hi, Andrea. Yes, we do indeed. We have official figures. There's 50,000 registered motorhomes and campervans with conversions in Ireland as of 2 years ago, and growing all the time. It's a really, really common thing to do these days in Ireland. Really popular.
So about 50,000 registered camper vans or mobile vans out on the road that have been converted. And typically, would the majority of those travel around Ireland, or do they use them for further afield?
Typically we travel around Ireland. Now, in the summer we might go abroad because of the facilities in Ireland are so lacklust that there's no facilities to park, or very, very few. But the thing, I suppose, is that an awful lot of camper vans and motorhomes come into Ireland in the summer to tour around Ireland. There is a figure that's around €400 million to the Irish economy from tourism from motorhomes and camper vans in Ireland. It's a massive amount of money. But yet, the facilities are kind of falling behind.
Why? What's wrong with the facilities that we have?
We do have kind of old existing campsites and stuff, but we have some air facilities which councils have put in place, but we need multiples of them in Ireland to encourage more tourism, because we are actually closing the doors to lots more tourism in this country with regards to motorhomes and campervan users, because we have a name in this country that we literally have a closed shop and we have high barriers everywhere. Instead of that kind of a sense, people would think, well, let's go to Europe because we have free park-ups in small towns and villages all over Europe, whereas we don't have them facilities in Ireland. We have campsites and stuff, but not enough.
So do you think we say no to camper vans, do we? We don't really want to.
I just think we need a step change. I think councils and governments just need to actually kind of get their heads together and say, look, you know, there is figures there, 400 million, it's worth to the economy. If we started putting in facilities, like, for example, in Cove, where you pay €10 a night to park, I think there's 30 or 40 pitches there. Literally, it's just a parking space. The provided black and grey waste facilities and one toilet, and people pay €10 a night. I think Cove's economy gathers about 1.5 to 2 million euros alone just in Cove from having them 30 parking spaces there. So that can be done all over Ireland really easily by councils.
So what do you suspect is the... Why are we not doing it then?
I'm not sure. I think... I'm not really sure. Look, we've been campaigning for this for many, many years, but it's just like a shut shop. But look, councils are beginning to start to listen. Like, I was on Donegal Radio there the other day discussing about providing facilities there, for an example. We have a lovely facility in Clonmel now that Tipperary County Council put in place. Absolutely amazing. Clonmel, the people in Clonmel town love it. All the businesses in the town love it. Greg Namana is another example, and Port Tumna in Galway, where I stay quite often. They bring money into small towns and villages where there wouldn't be tourists coming other than having the facilities there.
Jill is with us on the line, Jason, as well. Jill, you're based in County Cork. You too have a camper van. How do you think our services are here in Ireland?
They're all right. There's only one campsite in County Meath, for example, in the whole county, which is a bit bizarre. There's another one in Dungarvan that has about 10 spaces. That's like the one in Cove.
Yeah.
There's pubs all over the country should be setting up out the back if they have room. Because if you can't drink and drive, you can just fall out into your camper van after a night in a rural pub. You know what I mean?
And what kind of services would they need to provide? I mean, presume water access and toilets or changing facilities or something, would they?
Well, if you could plug in your camper van, you're laughing.
Yeah.
There is I can't remember the name of it now, just outside Kilkenny. there's a famous pub there. It's a real hurling pub. They set up electric supply out the back. And it's fabulous. Full restaurant inside.
Mm.
Where I'm going to, in Glengariff, just outside the village, it's absolutely fabulous campsite. There's a pub and restaurant on site. And the kids all love it.
So you think this could be an opportunity for maybe for, oh, well, not just pubs or restaurants, but other businesses that have private parking facilities or that have space and could provide a service like this?
Absolutely. And all these rural pubs where nobody goes to because they're too far away. I mean, park up the back, get 10 campers in there and, you know, you'd have 20 people and plus in the pubs or restaurants that night. Spending locally.
I don't know. I suspect maybe is insurance a deterrent? Is that why more don't do it?
Or maybe they're just not thinking outside the box.
Might be an opportunity.
I don't know. It's brilliant.
And do you use your camper van much still?
As often as I can.
Do you? Yeah. You try to get good value out of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's a game changer. It's an absolute game changer. Just for example, we were arguing about where we were going to go next. And I said, in the end, I said, just put in that loan and we get there. It's the centre of the country. And if we don't want to stay there, we can go somewhere else. Well, he didn't want to go there. So he starts punching in something and we ended up in Athboy, County Meath.
Right.
But it didn't matter because we were in our home. We hadn't rented a holiday home. So wherever we ended up, we'd pitch. Another time we ended up in the middle of Sligo, out in the... out by Dermot Grania's grave, you know, out there really desolate. Mm-hmm. We were starving. So I threw out the frying pan with sausage sandwich, you know, in the middle
on the
of
side
nowhere,
of the road,
you know?
Yeah. No, I know.
Literally, yeah.
It is interesting because, I mean, when you look at the likes of France, you know, and people travelling every year and the ferry over to the UK as well, and like how other, you know, countries have managed to become such a huge attraction for holiday and camper van users. Micah Jansen, who's the manager of the Barrow Valley Activities Hub in Kilkenny, is with us on the line. Are campsites, like, are we just lacking campsite facilities in Ireland?
Hi, Andrea. Nice to talk to you again. I think there's definitely a need for more facilities for camper vans and motorhomes. Things are changing, though. A lot of councils have seen the success of our site in Great Na Mana and what it has done for the local community. We know we have a consultancy business here within our community development group. So we work for a lot of councils, do a lot of site assessments. So we know there is a definite willingness from councils to get these facilities in place. But you may understand that planning, not all the most suitable spaces are not always in possession of the council. So it's not an overnight thing, but I know the willingness is definitely there with a lot of councils.
Mm. Why do you think there's been some reluctance over the years?
I think it just took a while for the councils to see the positive effects this form of tourism can have, particularly on small towns and villages. so that's, you know, things never move fast. So, it has just taken a while. And demand, as was said earlier, has steadily increased. I think the amount of camper vans and motorhomes in Ireland alone has doubled over the last decade. So, the demand has just grown and the facilities and the availability of them have not kept up with that growth.
And how the public facilities that have been mentioned outside of Cork and others mentioned as well, Micah, by yourself and Jill, like, how are they policed or enforced? Like, if it's a 10 euro charge for somebody to come up tonight with their camper van and to park up and use the facilities to ensure that there's, you know, to ensure that there's no illegal dumping of waste and materials afterwards, like, who actually polices that? Is it the litter warden or local authority?
It depends on who operates the site, obviously. Like, we run it as a company, so, you know, we have our own staff and we have our own CCTV, etc. But I suppose if it's a council run site, it would have to be the council that keeps an eye on everything, so everybody has their own operations in place.
Aaron Burchill from Charlie and Me, the YouTube channel and Camping Crew podcast, is joining us as well, Mike, on the line today. Do we need greater investment in public camping facilities, Aaron, across the country?
The simple answer to that is yes. We do. I'm based in Carrigansure, and there is a private lady here trying to get planning to open an actual campsite. We mentioned Clonmel. Clonmel has increased from 10 bays to 15 bays. Greg Namana was the very, very, very first place that Charlie and me ever reviewed on our YouTube channel, and it was just a field. Now I believe they have 30 or 40 camping pitches. It is an actual campsite. It's great to see the likes of that, but I think planning is the main thing. People are prepared to spend the money, and then they hit red tape. And you mentioned France and you mentioned England. We're actually off to France on Monday,
right,
on holidays for 2 weeks. And then when we come back, myself and Charlie, my dog, are taking our YouTube channel to Wales, with thanks to the Welsh Tourist Board and two of our local companies that have sponsored a trip. So Charlie and me are now heading out of Ireland. We do France every 2 years anyway, yeah, and I'll review the campsites. And the three of the four campsites we're staying in are run by county councils in France.
Right, okay, so they're not the actual, you know, the sort of the big facilities or kind of private enterprises that, yeah, you know, that many Irish would have gone to.
Yeah, one of the four is owned by Le Castels, which is the biggest group in France, and they are fantastic. But the last campsite we're staying in, Sayaz, is run by the county council. Yeah. It's €12 a night. It has every facility that a top-notch campsite has, but it's run by the council, so it's that little bit cheaper.
It's funny because Jason mentioned some of the figures around this and the number of people that actually have camper vans or mobile homes in Ireland at the moment. And given the price of fuel and all that has gone with that, and even the cost of actually booking your place on the ferry to travel to France or the UK, is it actually a cheaper holiday?
Yes. I'm heading to France on Monday, and we bring a tow car with us, and it's €1,100 return. That's with a dog-friendly cabin, because Charlie will stay in the cabin with us. Our first campsite is €32 per night for 3 nights. Our second one is €22, and our third one is €11, and then I'm spending a week with my brother-in-law. For €2,000, we will have 2.5 weeks in France. You won't get that in a hotel for two adults, plus you won't be able to bring your dog.
No, but you still have to fuel the van on top of the €2,500.
€35 to the gallon. If you go on holidays, you're going to be grabbing cabs or hiring a car anyway. When I go camping in Ireland, I say, like, I'm going to be buying food anyway, so I don't count the cost of my food at the weekend.
Yeah, you're eating here or there anyway, so.
And I'm going to be driving around anyway, so I will cost a little bit of diesel. And then my campsite now in Ireland, if you can get a campsite for £30 a night, you're doing well. It's okay. £30 to £35, including electrical.
Michael, you're a camper van enthusiast as well. What's so great about it? Convince listeners that are maybe undecided.
Well, freedom. Freedom is the big thing. So that you can just go where you want. Book ahead. That's the whole thing, really. Insofar as that there aren't that many campsites available compared to the amount of people with motorhomes. So that you really want to be booking well ahead, and you have the freedom, and you have your luggage, everything with you. You have your home comfort, and what you're looking for really is security and a comfortable base for which to tour around.
And do you think if we had better facilities here, more people might be enticed to try it out?
When you look at the number of car parks with those barriers, we are tax-paying citizens. We are being discriminated against with these barriers, because there's no reason for the barrier to block a taxpayer from getting in there. And
well,
parking
the barrier
up
is usually there to prevent illegal parking.
Illegal parking. Why is a camper van illegal parking?
Well, I suppose the theory, yeah.
I pay road tax,
but,
you know.
But I suppose the theory being that if we had some of the other council sites that were mentioned in other parts, you know, of the country, in Cork and Kilkenny, that you'd be able to go along and park there. So it's wild kind of parking, is it? Is that what you're looking for, Michael?
Yeah, there's technology available. You can actually have an automatic barrier. You know, you could have somebody who is in charge.
True. Yeah, pay your tenner or £20 and go under the barrier.
You put your money in.
Right.
Like, I was in a motorhome site up outside Belfast, and each individual staying there has their own code for getting in and out. No, it's a council run site outside Belfast, out in Jordanstown, and they know how many times you went in or out, they know the person that's going in and out because you've booked. You've been given a PIN number.
Oh, no, absolutely. With the likes of that, you could, you know, a PIN code or something like that. You can, even the plate recognition, you'd absolutely be able to find a way around the barriers to prevent illegal parking. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. For the moment, Michael, Aaron, Micah, Jill, Jason, thanks so much for getting in touch with us.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on Newstalk. Conversation that counts.